Okay, Eric, would you like to start us off with the roll call?
Sure. Ms. Flapika? Mr. Graham?
Present.
Mr. Brown? Ms. Moss?
Here.
Mr. Brangle?
Present.
Mr. Preston?
Here.
And Mr. Neubecker?
Here.
We have a quorum, and just as a friendly reminder to my trustees from your friendly compliance officer, we do have three trustees on the listening. You can listen, you just can't participate. Participating would be a violation of the Open Meetings Act. And that is all.
Great. And guests that are here, would you like to introduce yourself briefly so we know who's on the call?
So you should have, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. So you should have Barrington Lopez. There we go. I'll make sure you had the information. I will be presenting, I guess, somewhere second or third on the agenda item. I'm not sure if I'm the only guest on the agenda. I might be.
Yeah, and then we have our trustees who are on that can't participate.
Hey, Lee. Yep. Lee, Bob O'Connell's on.
Okay.
Good morning.
Great. Is that Katie Brennan?
Yes, I'm here. Good morning, everyone.
Great. And who else do we have on? Patty Hennick.
Patty Hennick, good morning.
Great. We cover everyone?
Good morning. You've got Erica Bachner on as well.
Oh, great. Thanks for joining, Erica. Great. So do we need a motion, Eric, to consider the electronic participation?
That's correct.
Yeah. Is there a motion?
So moved.
Seconded.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Any opposed? Passes. Okay, public comment. Are there any other public comments besides those items already scheduled on the agenda? Oh, we have Donna joining us too. Okay, did everyone get a chance to look at the minutes we sent out last night?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Do we have a motion to approve all of them as a group, or do we need to do that individually, Eric?
No, you can approve them in one motion.
Okay. Is there a motion?
Move to
approve. So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Aye.
Okay. The motion to approve the minutes from January, April of this year is approved. Okay. So Barrington wanted to get feedback from our committee on an initiative that he cares about. Barrington, would you like to speak?
Oh, great. Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Good morning, and thank you for having me. Thanks to the Economic Development Commission, and especially those who have been instrumental, including Donna at Root Forest Chocolates, who is we've had several discussions on the opportunity to do murals in the past. So I will go get into the presentation, and but before we get into it, I think the one question that came up for quite a few people is, why are we talking murals to the Economic Development Commission? And in my mind, before we get into the presentation that I had attached, and I won't go through each slide directly, which everyone should have as part of the items on this, it's the idea is when I started looking at opportunities within River Forest to engage the community, I looked at different things that would essentially involve both businesses and the community. And as I was talking to other friends in other places across the US, they all kind of came to the same conclusion that one of the things that are really easy to do that engages the community, engages businesses, is public art. And one form of public art is that is large and says stop and take a look is murals. So the idea behind what I'm going to show in a few minutes is really the how do we engage the community and businesses using murals. I'm going to see if I can share my. If everyone has it, I can either present it or I can share the screen, which is the process that the EDC usually uses.
I think you can share your screen.
Okay, so I will just do that then. Okay, did everyone see the screen on the page?
No.
You had to click the monitor number, I think.
Okay, let me go back and do that. Now?
Yes.
Awesome. Okay, perfect. Awesome sauce. So the basic idea behind this is just to look at public art / murals as a way to engage communities, and especially the community of River Forest. So this started originally as a discussion with me and some of my neighbors on Lathrop about how do we utilize some of this big blank spaces we have in the community that will bring people together in a way that everyone can engage and everyone would like. And so the idea of murals came up with that. So what you see on the screen is really just a couple of examples of very large building murals that we thought were a good example of how things, of how a mural could be visually engaging to a community. Let me move those bridge. Okay, so the project is, as I look at it, is really about making public art accessible to the community and primarily also engaging the community in the public art in a way that the community wants to stop and take a look and ask, what does this mean? And ask again, the second question is, what is the business or the artist behind this art? And so the idea of using murals, I think, was something that has shown value. Both locally in Chicago, there is a large project called the Wabash Arts Corridor that has engaged some very large mural projects on Wabash. But there's also been initiatives in Helena, Montana, in Fargo, North Dakota, in Oklahoma City, across the U.S. and in fact across the globe, to use murals to engage the public and to engage businesses. And frankly, what we found is that murals do a really good job of bringing people to the place, which is what we're looking for, I think, when we look at economic development and community engagement, those two things. And so murals do a really good job of that. It will drive public pedestrians, drivers, if it's visible via train, to a train, train passengers who are going by, and it will help also brand communities and businesses as innovative and frankly just designations for people to go to. Okay, so if there are no questions yet, I'm going to go a little bit about some of the locations that we're looking at that I've scouted essentially, that would be great locations to engage murals along a business corridor within River Forest, so that we would have an opportunity to bring people to those businesses and to that part of River Forest. So the main section of River Forest that I thought would be a great starting point for this is really the Lake Street Business Corridor. So we have the big blank wall on the Jewel Osco building. We have a commercial building on Lake and Park. We have the Kirk Eye Center building. We have the Town Center building that has Town Center area that has Whole Foods and has Panera Bread and also has some big blank walls there. We thought this would be a good place to start. And as a FYI, I have already engaged the corporate team at Jewel Osco about whether or not they will support it. And they are very much interested in using one of their walls or several of their walls actually as public art space, And I thought it was a really good way to start off the project. It's a very large wall. It's almost in the dead center of what we'd consider the business corridor within Rue Forest on Lake Street. And it's engaging from both folks who are walking, cycling, or driving east to west or west to east. Do I have any questions so far?
Are you referring to the north side of the Julasco or the south?
The north side. So the actual side that would engage people who are driving even through the town, or people who are driving from the western part of the town to the eastern part of the town, or going to Oak Park, or even going to the train station, the metro station either way, or the CTA station on the corner of Harlem. Any other questions?
No.
Okay. So this is just as an example of what some of the public art that we are looking at. And I'll take a step back and I'll explain the reason why you're seeing a lot of very large scale art that I think will draw people together. When I talked to the Jewel team, they were very clear that they're very supportive of this. What they would like to see if they get something on their walls is something that is broad, very inclusive, that everyone can enjoy. And they also were hesitant about art that had a particular political statement, but they said that they would love art that actually is art for art's sake. And so I when I presented some information to them, we kind of started narrowing down on this very grand pieces of art that are that eventually what I would call a something that makes, when somebody wakes up in the morning, they look at it, they'll as they walk by, they'll smile. And I think this is what some of this art is meant to encourage. As an example of some of the things that you may have seen around the area, many developers and building owners have also latched onto this concept. In Oak Park and Forest Park, there are at least three buildings that have mosaic art, and there are several that have large scale painted art as well, including the corner of Circle and Madison in Forest Park. It was a work that was commissioned by the Shedd Aquarium, that's in the lower right hand corner, that was commissioned by the Shedd Aquarium a couple of years ago. And those are the types of things that you see, that there is an ongoing public dialogue around how art not only engages the community, it enhances the businesses in the community, and frankly, it makes people stop and take a look at what is there. The next page is just an example of some art that I have seen, and these are a combination of pictures I've taken from locations and also pictures I've taken during my travels. You will see that all of this art is incredibly engaging, frankly, rather simple in a way that it is so lovely in how it's engaging. It is not complex. It doesn't ask you to solve an equation, so to speak. It really just asks you to stop, take a look, and enjoy what's there. So the reason why this started with this particular group at the EDC is because I understand that there are many stakeholders in trying to get this off the ground, specifically the municipality, the local businesses, whether they be the actual property owners or the actual businesses that are using the actual business space, such as River Forest Chocolates, residents, artists, art institutions, and schools. And I know that schools are something that is not uncommon for as a major stakeholder in mural art, because oftentimes what we'll see is that when art goes up, individuals want to meet the artist and have the artist engaged in the local schools to explain what does art mean. These are just some resources that I've attached to this particular document that will help you kind of get some additional background. So, I think before we go into additional questions, I want to kind of get into I guess a little bit about what is the ask that I'm asking with this commission. I am not asking for funds for this particular initiative. When I've talked to some of the business owners and some of the developers or landlords, some of the buildings, they are wholeheartedly engaged and want to would love to move forward with this. What they really want to know is, does the community support it? And do we have engagement from the local municipality to move forward? Because there are things that will have to be done. We know that there will be things like permitting requirements. We know there will have to be engaging the community in terms of the artists and what the art will look like. So I wanted to kind of just address that big elephant in the room a little bit about what the ask is for this. It is not necessarily funds. I think at this critical time in our history with COVID-19 and everything else that's going on, I think that I think that the funds in a municipality like River Forest are better allocated towards so many things that the village would need and that businesses probably will need as well. That this is a project that I think will require external fundraising, and I've already started that process of engaging some others around the funds for this. And I would like more than anything else to find out if the Economic Development Commission is aligned with this goal or not.
I'd like to just take a moment, Barrington, to let people give some feedback before we've got to move on to some other things on the agenda here. And I want to make sure we have enough time. So committee members, what are your thoughts on what he's presenting with regard to having murals in the commercial corridor? Any thoughts or feedback?
This is Bob Graham. I have several problems only because I was involved in Town Center 1 and 2. I wasn't involved in the Jewel Project, both of which are planned developments. But the ordinances that went through for those facilities related directly to the external appearance of the building, where we specify the type of materials and the color and whatever. Mm. And those are ordinances that are existing in the village right now. It gives me a feeling that as an Economic Development Commission, this isn't our cup of tea to make a comment on good or bad. And it's probably, I wouldn't say probably, it's absolutely a situation that should go before the village board, because it's we've got already ordinances about how two of those properties should look. The Jack Strand building and the Kirk building are private properties that I don't believe were affected by planned development. So to make a proposal or a recommendation, good or bad, I don't think it's the Economic Development Commission, it's the village board that has that responsibility, because it affects some existing ordinances that have remained on in the books.
Yeah. Barrington, have you considered murals along the train wall? Because I know there's been some precedent for that, and that seems to have received, it doesn't have the same issues that the planned development has.
Yeah, and I think that the idea of murals along the train corridor is a good idea, and it impacts, frankly, the folks going by with the train. I guess the idea that I had was originally around just a very small thing, like how do we engage more people to use the businesses along the commercial corridor? If it's along the train corridor, I don't know if we have the same visibility or the same customer constituency. It's not so much something that I have a stake in either way. I just, in my mind, the idea was to have something that would engage the most people. And the train corridor, I think, will have visibility, but it's more people whizzing by as opposed to people stopping in.
Any other comments or feedback for Barrington?
Barrington, I think what you're asking us is, do we support the idea of art, not really location at this point, right?
Yeah, not really location at this point. I think that there is I only went to the, I went to Jewel because frankly they had the largest wall and I knew how to contact them directly in terms of the possibility of them engaging. Mm-hmm.
I think what you showed is really beautiful. I think, I don't know if that's for us to choose and the location, I don't know about that, but have you reached out to like the Oak Park Art League and that group to get a little more information on it?
So I do have, I have essentially a checklist of the things that have to happen when you do a mural piece. So I do have that already. The key that I'm trying to get, I guess, from here is an idea of is River Forest especially the businesses, that's what I meant, the Economic Development Commission, the business, is this something that people want or not? Because if it's not something that people want, then and does it make sense for me to kind of push through this grand initiative to use art to bring people to the businesses along Lake Street, to use art specifically to as the tool?
Yeah. Well, I would encourage you to talk to the trustees and individually to take their temperature on how, if there's a desire for the art, and if so, under what circumstances? Because we're not really in a place to impose on businesses what they have to do.
Oh, and absolutely. I want to make sure one thing is really clear. This is not, when I went to the stakeholder list, the businesses essentially have to sign up to do whatever we want to do. Whether it's the actual business or the landlords or the property developer, the management companies, they have to sign up for this. And that is an absolute requirement. That is already on the checklist of the things that I would like to do. Again, the main thing I was trying to get a sense of here is, do we have an appetite for this or not? If we do have an appetite, then we can move forward with maybe the trustees, or even looking at, do we even want to go down a path of fundraising, external fundraising for something like this?
Can I just maybe jump in? This is Liz Holt. I'm with the Oak Park and River Forest Chamber of Commerce.
Liz.
From the chamber's point of view and from a business point of view, I would be 110% in support of a project like this, simply because public art in general makes people and consumers and shoppers just feel more comfortable in a space. Stark spaces, industrial spaces are just don't do the same thing. So I think it's fantastic for the business corridor. I think large engaging murals like that, if you have enough of them, start to be able to get people that want to visit just to see the murals. And when you start to get visitors who visit for other reasons, that's when they stop and they say, look at this beautiful chocolate shop or whatever. So 100%, I think it's a fantastic idea. I think it takes those large blank walls and makes them into beautiful canvases. And I think it's a great thing. And the precedents that you showed, Barrington, I think are wonderful. I think in this day and age, my opinion only is that we should shy away from anything that is too politically charged, because we just don't want anything to be be divisive. Just art for art's sake, for goodness sake, you know?
Yep. No, I totally understand. I think that we've lost some of that, the art for art's sake. And I think that's what I totally agree.
Right. And, if we start going down that path, then getting businesses, all it takes is one person to decide one business and their mural, the social media, and you can crucify somebody. So art for art's sake is what I think.
Well, thank you for coming, Barrington. I'd encourage you to continue to reach out to Unity to get more feedback. I don't think that our group is in a position right now to say, vote either way, because we're not really, it's the plan, unit development, it's zoning, it's other things. But, Liz, certainly you might want to reach out to Liz to see if you can survey businesses and get more input on their opinions on that.
Great. Thanks.
This is, Yeah, this is Carr Press. I just kind of want to say I kind of echo those sentiments. I think the project has a lot of merits, but we encourage you to take up the discussions with the village trustees.
Awesome, Sauce. Thank you again for having me. I do appreciate it. This is not necessarily my area of expertise, but I've kind of dove into this, and I appreciate you giving me the time, and I look forward to the next stages with working with the other stakeholders.
Great. Thanks, Barrington.
Thank you.
Okay, our next item of business, the Shop River Forest We've Got You Covered initiative. You should have a packet that summarizes some of the results of the campaign. Eric, do you want to brief everyone on the summary?
Yeah, sure. I had John Pape from my office put together a quick cover memo that just kind of puts together, how much we spent, and then gives you some analytics in terms of, we did a quote unquote media buy for Facebook and Instagram ads for those four videos that John Griffin put together for us, which I thought were great, very well received. This is our first foray, if you will, run into any kind of digital media advertising. Obviously, we have our social media accounts, but this is the first time we've actually, proactively spent money. And, part of in the budget, there was a $3,000 expense for what we're calling ad consulting. Because we had never done this before, this was kind of like the first, first time setup cost. And that's something that the village would encounter again. So that's why that line item is asterisked in the budget that we put together. And in fact, unrelated to anything in the EDC's purview, but just as an aside, the village recently did another purchase. We're recruiting for people to take the entrance exam for a police officer and firefighter for the eligibility list. And, recruitment's always an ongoing challenge. And in this day and age, it continues to be a challenge, but we've done an ad buy on that with, I think it's about a 15-mile radius. And I've actually had colleagues in other towns emailing me and texting me screenshots of, hey, I saw this video or saw that video, but ad and, good work. So the EDC was the guinea pig a little bit for the village here, but at the end, it's something I think a tool we're going to be able to use for other things in the future. Overall, you can see that there were 366,000 impressions. So that's the total time that the ad was were displayed. There's a reach, which means the number of users exposed to an ad, to about 92,000 people. There were post engagements, and that's the measure of the total number of actions that people take involving the ad, including video views, but also likes, shares, comments. That was about 46,000 and about 3,200 clicks as well. So the average CPM, which is a measurement tool, industry tool kind of to determine, what kind of value you're getting, is at $3.28. And is at the per mill or per experience, and according to AdStage, and they look at that on an average for the same time period around $6 to $8. So the idea here, the metric, what that metric is telling us is that it cost us a lot less to reach each individual person. So we got good value for the money that we spent. And if you take out, so going back to that budget, the video cost was just a hair under $4,000. And again, that was for four videos. If you even break out the one-time setup cost, that ad campaign was $1,200 to run that for about 3-4 weeks, right? So obviously good value for the village in order to A, support our local businesses, and then B, just get additional exposure and marketing for the village as a whole.
Eric, I have a question. I think I asked you before, but the question was, when will we know what the sales receipts were so that we can kind of see before the ad campaign, after, in terms of impact on spending those ads?
Yeah, so sales tax receipts to the village are, we get the aggregate numbers and they're reported on the Illinois Department of Revenue's website, so anyone could get those about 3 months in the rears. So we're just seeing April sales in the month of July in the aggregate. We won't know individual business sales until later on. The state shares that, but we can't, we're under privacy rules from the state to share that. So myself and the finance director will know, but unfortunately I'm prohibited under state law in sharing that information. Certainly if individual businesses wanted to come forward and share that, they could do that voluntarily, but the village is prohibited from sharing. We can share aggregate in terms of what total sales tax dollars or receipts are for that month, but I'm unable to share individual business.
Oh yeah, that would be great. Just once we get the numbers to know, you know, was May up from April in terms of receipts. I asked Jackie Catarba, who owns La Perlita, did I say that right? Mexican Grill, just to come on and give some feedback of what she saw after the ad, one of the ads featuring her business went out.
Well, last year was very slow, and I projected that this year was going to be the same, and we got completely busy. We literally had over 200 people pour in, and it was on Cinco de Mayo, and we closed at 10. I had a shutdown at 6. We reached our capacity at all levels. We did the best that we could, and I think we handled it very well. But our business went extremely high that day. I did notice a change after that day. One of our machines, which is Chow now, it's become more steadier now. It's in the past, we didn't have much orders from that particular machine, but I've seen an increase in sales with that particular machine with Chow now after Cinco de Mayo.
Jackie, didn't a TV station come film by you too?
Yes.
And was that because of this, do you think, or?
Because of the Tribune?
No, what was that? Because of our video.
Well, yes. I had someone call me, and I suggested that they go out to one of the businesses featured, and they liked that idea. I thought Jackie would make a better subject than me.
yes it went very well, and I think because of that that campaign it helped boost up the sales.
Great. Any other comments or questions about the campaign? Is this something that we're continuing to spend money on, Eric, for in the present month, or are we going to wait to see what happens with the receipts?
Yeah, you know, I think at this point we've concluded the campaign in terms of the ad buy. It's not to say that we couldn't go back and reuse those videos at some other point. So we'll continue to look at that and evaluate that as we go forward.
I'd love to jump in and say I think it's fantastic. The whole thing is wonderful. This is exactly what the businesses need, and it's exactly what a village can do to support the business community. It's fantastic. For fear of, again, being called a little bit of a Debbie Downer, I would love for us to take that momentum and those videos and maybe the learning from spending that social media marketing dollars and seriously consider having a plan in our back pocket for if, and please, I hope this doesn't happen, but if we have to take a step back into phase three. I think it's a really realistic thing that could happen. And it would be great if this group or the village was able to say, right, if and when it happens, we just, you know, push the button and we've got this entire campaign using a lot of the same stuff that we've got, just maybe the voiceover is slightly different, you know, assuring people because we've stepped back into phase three, you know, stores like La Paralita are still open, we're still safe, we're still all of that, still come back, don't go away, that sort of thing. If it never happens, well, then great, fantastic, it never happens. But if it does, a lot of people are going to suffer and a lot of businesses are going to suffer and people will be freaked out and they need to have that assuring voice coming out of the village saying, we planned for this. We've been planning for this for months and it's okay. That's it.
Eric, may I screen share for a moment? I want
to
show.
Give me a second. I have to hang on.
I see it now. Great.
Okay.
Okay, but I've been building a dashboard to track. Can you see my screen right now? To track COVID, and it's now I've achieved automation. But what this is showing, hold on a second. It's showing how we're doing in Illinois, and so the red line is a 7-day. Hold on, let me space this up a little more. The red line here is the Okay, the red line here is the 7-day trailing average, and the yellow line is a 14-day trailing average. As long as the red line is below the yellow, we're in a good place. But right now, you know, given the holiday weekend, we've got a little bit of an uptick. But we're doing so much better than other states, and the death rate is really being better managed. The numbers that were reported through the holidays. So we had a spike. But again, what happens is when they're reporting, you know, everything from the holiday weekend might have been reported on one single day. But if you go down to the bottom, you can actually see our zip code. It shows the top counties where it's growing the fastest. And then you can actually go in and look at Cook County positive cases. And Cook County is doing really well. And this ties back into when our village and Kathy issued the order requiring mass usage, that's proven to be effective. And that followed the analysis of what happened in South Korea, where they got mass out to everyone and they quelled the spread when people are inside. So we're doing pretty good in Cook County. We're our 7-day average is still below the 14-day average. And then if we look at how we're doing in River Forest, at the very bottom, you can see all the zip codes. So we can drill in and go to, let's look for 60305 here. Sorry about this. 60305. Okay, there's a test, the number of tests that we've had in River Forest. And then you've got the positive cases. And we had a blip, but you know, we're relatively low in terms of the cases. Sometimes the state misreports data, which will cause a negative number. But for the most part, our numbers are very good in River Forest, comparatively. In Cook County, we're still decreasing in Cook County. So that's all. Okay, anything else on the campaign before we move on?
Yeah, if we did another campaign, I think we talked about this initially, couldn't it be something more like broader, visit River Forest, show our history, show our shopping, show our housing, something a little more broad to bring people to our village for lots of things, you know, things to do, trailside, kind of like what that other company was doing, remember when they came to us? Visit Oak Park, was that who came to us to fund their thing? I'd like to see a video.
Yeah, speaking of which, we've never really gotten anything back from them. Eric, is there an update on the convention?
If you've read, I have had some conversations with Eric Wagner. I will circle back with him. You know, they were hit pretty hard with budget cuts as it relates to funding. You know, they're funded in part from the Village of Oak Park hotel tax and the state. but we have been talking periodically throughout, so I will certainly circle back with him. If there was something that he was going to do, it would be more focused on a kind of a website development as a extension of the Visit Oak Park site.
Got it. So other things that I'd love for a quick update on, Madison Street. We actually have a guest here, our state representative, Chris Welch, who's helped us hopefully secure some funding to help with the Madison Street demolition. Chris, thanks for coming on. He's joining us from Michigan, so thanks.
Hey, Lee, thanks for having me. No hopeful to it. It's in the budget. The governor signed the capital bill, and we've got $350,000 coming your way to demolish a couple of buildings over on Madison Street. I enjoy working with the mayor and Eric. They do a great job of keeping me informed on what's going on in town and allowing me to go to bat for you.
Well, we sure appreciate it. That's and so right now where we are with Madison Street, we can't do anything until that's all signed and finalized. So once it's finalized, even if we don't receive the funds immediately, Eric tells me we can get the project started. So we're just waiting.
Yeah, it's my hope. We're working with DCEO, the Department of Commerce and Economic Opportunity, to get an agreement in place that'll allow you to go ahead and get it done. And they will reimburse you no matter what. It's in the budget. It's your money. Whether you get it up front or get reimbursed, know that, the state is helping alleviate a little bit of the burden on the taxpayers.
Great. Well, thanks for joining us, too. I really appreciate it. Eric, do you have anything to add?
No, I've been in contact with Representative Welch, who's been great with us through the years. Not only on this, we had some money, it's probably been 3-4 years by now, even maybe longer, when we had some alley reconstruction on a state green infrastructure grant where the alleys up North Avenue, Bonnie Bray in that area were completely reconstructed with paver bricks. So that was funding that was secured with Representative Welch's help. So yeah, I think at this point, like any good government, we have some paperwork that we need to complete, but I'm sure we'll get that taken care of in short order.
Great, thank you. Can we get an update on what's happening with Lake and Lathrop?
Sure. So at Lake and Lathrop, the developer continues to make some progress. A couple items worth noting. The IEPA did give conditional approval for the remedial action plan. Back in January, they had submitted documents and paperwork to the state to get their sign off before remediation work could ultimately take place. So those plans were submitted and the state has conditionally approved those reports. So that's certainly a big step. There's been a lot of other work that is going on. Commonwealth Edison has been working on electrical utility relocations. Unfortunately, while that work has commenced and continues, it's not done just yet. But there has been a significant amount of work. They basically have to relocate and bury the lines around the development. There's a feed that comes west over Lake, south of Lake, that feeds that entire block. It's now being bifurcated out so that half of that is coming, will now come from the south off of Central, and then there's another feed that will feed the existing remaining building on Lake east from Ashland. So that work continues, but the remediation really can't start until that electrical work is done, because they're going to pull then the existing electrical infrastructure off. So that continues. The developer is also in the process of finalizing financing for the bridge loan to do this. And so the village has been kept apprised of that information as well. So There's some important work, and the hope is then once ComEd concludes their work, the developer would be able to then start the remediation work. And obviously that's a major milestone for the village in terms of getting that cleaned up. And the developer, as you've seen, has concluded the debris pickup from the demolition. So that now is also completed as well.
Great. Any other business to cover or any other questions before we establish our next meeting? With that, I was thinking we take August off. I don't think there's anything pressing, but plan to meet September 11th, the Friday. Is that acceptable to everyone? And Eric, if there's any business you think we're going to need to cover next month, please let me know. We can always pull a meeting together if necessary.
Yeah, I'll actually be. I think I'm out of town. Double checking here. Yeah, I would be out of town anyhow. Around the next time for the meeting. So, yep, September 11th will work.
Okay, great. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Great. We're adjourned. Thank you all for attending.
Thanks, everybody.
Thank you, Jackie, and other guests, especially Rep Welch, for joining us.
Bye. Thanks, everyone.